Up until now, you may have regarded snails as a major impediment to your yard. Maybe this next conversation will change your opinion of those and potentially other invertebrates. A recent series of studies by some American and French researchers looked at the extinction rate of Hawaiian snails and invertebrates around the globe and calls what's happened in Hawaii nothing less than catastrophic. For many conservationists, that pronouncement is especially difficult to hear, as Hawaii's shrinking biodiversity is often considered the chief example of extinction on the move. Robert Kawi is a research professor at the Pacific Biosciences Research Center at UH. He was part of the team to assess the loss of Hawaii and global invertebrates. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much for having me. Good morning, Bethan.
Now, this story is getting a lot of traction outside of Hawaii. That's not only are people concerned that perhaps we haven't been as vigilant about this or that we don't know the importance of it as much as perhaps we now do, but is this going to change the conversation as we look at how many invertebrates have become extinct or that we thought in past, as opposed to what you have found specifically in these studies?
I think that our hope would be that, yes, it would change the conversation and make people more aware of the extraordinary levels of extinction of invertebrates. It's early days yet. The studies only came out in the last month or so. And, yes, they've received a considerable amount of media attention since UH put out a press release on Monday. In terms of the actual conservation action and receptivity to the studies by the conservation organizations that implement those actions, we'll wait and see. We hope that...
Hoping is a good thing, and clearly that seems to be the issue with a lot of this. Is there hope? How do you come back from this? But you're really talking about a far more than just significant amount. You're talking about an extreme amount of extinction. And the fact that snails, although most people may have an idea of them in the garden variety, that's a really good litmus test for what's happening in the world of biodiversity. I mean, they and other invertebrates.
Yes, you're right. And unfortunately, invertebrates, because people don't see them as charismatic.
Oh, like, they're not sexy.
They're not sexy at all. Although, you know, I think some of them are, but that's
spider.
Me. They don't get the attention that mammals and birds get by particularly the major conservation organizations. And the studies that we've done have focused on trying to get a more accurate assessment of extinction globally, as well as in Hawaii, than what is out there provided by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. Now, I'm not criticizing the IUCN. They do a wonderful job of assessing the threats to species around the world and identifying potential focuses of attention by conservation managers and people implementing conservation actions.
That's what their red list is all about.
That's what their red list is all about. It's not about assessing levels of extinction. However, they do... When they assess something as extinct, it does go on the list. Now, they've assessed almost all mammals and all birds, but they've only assessed a tiny, tiny fraction of invertebrates. And so, in total, there are about 800 species listed as extinct on the IUCN's red list. That's a tiny, tiny fraction of global biodiversity. And that number, because it's a tiny fraction of total biodiversity, has been used by, if you will, conservation naysayers who want to negate the idea of there being a biodiversity crisis. And so they can point to the IUCN and say this highly respected international conservation organization only lists 800 species as extinct out of the 1.9 million or so that are recognized in the world. What we wanted to say was that is heavily weighted, that number of 800 is heavily weighted by the assessments of birds and mammals. And while a significant number of snails have been assessed as extinct by the IUCN, it's nonetheless a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of total snail diversity. And if you think of invertebrates in general, then it's an infinitesimal fraction that's been assessed by the IUCN. obviously because they're difficult to assess. We know very little about most of those invertebrates compared to what we know about mammals and birds. And so our studies have tried to get a handle on the numbers of invertebrates that have gone extinct by doing a less rigorous assessment than the IUCN does, but nonetheless we've extrapolated from our studies to a global number, and we come up with, instead of 800 species gone extinct, excuse me, we come up with 130,000 gone extinct. So that's a huge difference, and 130,000 is something like 7% of the total biodiversity in the world. And that, so we're saying that 7% of biodiversity has been lost since approximately the year 1600.
And even when you're talking about that huge number of 130,000, even if you were to say with a margin of error that you discounted some of it, it's still huge compared to what's been looked at in past.
Absolutely. I don't care whether we came up with a number of 30,000 or 300,000. It's still huge compared to the 800 that, if you will, the naysayers focus on.
So the big takeaway message for most people who are now thinking, okay, snails, what does that really mean? How does that fit in? What do you tell them to get their attention?
You know, it's a difficult thing to do, because most people, when they think of conservation, they think of tigers and, I don't know, eagles and
the condors, pretty animals.
The big, pretty, what we call charismatic vertebrates, the charismatic megafauna. We're looking at things that are small. People don't know much about them. So the key, I think, is education and outreach from us scientists who know what's going on, to try to inform the public and indeed the conservation agencies that please don't forget about invertebrates, because they play a huge role in ecosystem functioning. And, you know, without a study that was done by one of my former students showed that snails are key recyclers of nutrients in environments. And without those snails, then we've got a problem.
Well, and we've had some real problems because of understanding how important snails were, thinking back to one of our fun drives where we had some issues with snails that needed to be moving around after the rains and doing various things. But not just that, issues with the wolf snail, other things we've talked about within Hawaii. Are we really more receptive to this, considering that, you know, most of the attention that you've been getting has been from outside of Hawaii?
You know, I hate to say it, but I do think that people in Hawaii are less aware of conservation issues than perhaps elsewhere in the world. Australia, New Zealand, they're very aware of their natural heritage, much more so than I think the general public is here. And part of that is because we've lost so much of it already that most people never see a native species in the course of their normal daily moving around Honolulu or wherever in Hawaii. You have to go into the mountains to see native species.
Well, let's hope people decide to do a bit of a trek after the rains and when things are safe for both people and snails they may be watching.
Absolutely.
And that your study perhaps changes some perspectives of some of the critters that we only see in our gardens. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome, Beth-Ann. Thanks for having me. It's been a
pleasure. Always a pleasure. Dr. Robert Kawi is the research professor at UH Manoa and was part of the international team to document what they call the catastrophic extinction of invertebrates locally and globally. Those would include snails. More on Facebook at Hawaii Conversation.